Brother Colin's been saying about this court ruling that's meant to be happening on, I think it's Wednesday the 7th in the evening. On Tuesday night, there are also a number of Christians gathering at Craigavon Area Hospital, as many as possible, for a time of prayer against or for the upholding of the true law of the land, which is our freedom of speech. That is the law. And whatever a Supreme Court judge decides will not be law, but will be contrary to the law of the land. So it will be an illegal court, as it were, if it goes against freedom of speech, making decision against speech. But what a sad day we live in when we have to pray about things like this. I was just thinking when Colin was speaking, in Psalm 139, the psalmist talks about God knowing him when his members, his body parts, were being knit together in his mother's womb. And it's spoken of there all in the personal pronoun. And you know what that means? That means that what is knit together in the mother's womb is not a thing, but it's me. It's a person. And the killing of a person is murder. And what we have in our nation is we already have the legislation of murder. And now we're having the Supreme Court making a decision that you can't object to it. What a disgrace our nation is. Let's pray to the Lord that he will uphold true law and order in our country. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, please. We'll read the first six verses. Tonight we're applying the fourth beatitude. It is the fourth. We'll read verses 1 to 6. Jesus, it says here, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen, and the Lord will bless the reading of his inspired word to us. The Beatitudes are the characteristics of the citizen of the kingdom of heaven. The characteristics of every person in the universal church. The blessed, those that are blessed by their fellowship with God. And how do you identify them? You identify them in this way. They are poor in spirit. They mourn over sin. They are meek. They see themselves as they truly are, and they're not proud. The Christian knows, I am nothing without the grace of God. And the Christian is also, according to this fourth beatitude, identified in this way. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They have a real hunger and a real intense thirst for righteousness. And that simply means living in God's way, trying to live in a way that's pleasing to God, righteousness. And it's they that hunger and thirst after righteousness that they shall be filled. They shall be filled. The word means comforted and satisfied. In other words, hunger and thirst after righteousness in life, doing what God wants, or the effort and goal at least to do what God wants us to do, is the only thing that fills and satisfies a person. But hunger after fun or entertainment or beauty or being cool, that always leads to disappointment. because it's all just short-lived, short-term. But the true child of God is someone who hungers and thirsts, consciously desires, because hunger and thirst is a conscious desire, after righteousness. The righteousness that we have before God is a legal justification. We are declared righteous in the court of heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. But a child of the kingdom, a true Christian, wants to live righteously. Yes, we're declared righteous, but we who are believers, we want to be what we are declared in the kingdom or the court of heaven. We want to live God's way and are satisfied and fulfilled in doing so. Now, that's our goal. We fall far short. Of course we do. But that's the desire of the child of the kingdom. A hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not an attaining, but a hunger and thirst after it. Now, this beatitude, this conscious desire for righteousness in my own life and our own lives, is in every true child of God. And this beatitude that a Christian hungers and thirsts actively after righteousness is, as I said last week, it in itself, this statement is a reproof to those who do not hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, I want to apply this beatitude. This is the first of the sermon that has two sermons on one beatitude. I was steered in this direction by Thomas Watson, the Puritan. But I want to say two main points tonight, and there are sub-points under them. Number one, point number one will be this. This beatitude is a reproof to six types of person. And secondly, we're going to look at the five signs of spiritual hunger or hunger and thirst after righteousness for our own encouragement. But firstly, this fourth beatitude is a reproof to six different types of person. Some I mentioned last week. I just touched on them. I'm not going to stay long on them, but let's go through them. The fourth beatitude that the blessed person is the person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness is a reproof to those who desire sleep more than spiritual food. I mentioned this last week, the Sunday sleepiness. It comes, and funny how it doesn't make an appearance when it's time to go to work. And it doesn't make an appearance when it's time to do the shopping. Or it doesn't make an appearance, this sleepiness, when it's time to go out somewhere we want to go. I gave you the example last week of two women many, many years ago that used to come to White Abbey about one Sunday in every 2 months. Because things always happened, they were tired and they weren't well. But yet every week they were able to get the bus from Carrickfergus to Belfast to go to the market. And the sleepiness never happened then. Well, this beatitude is a reproof to any who profess to love Jesus Christ, but they actually love sleep more than spiritual food, because a child of the kingdom hungers and thirsts after righteousness. They want to do God's will. It's also a reproof, secondly, under the first point, to those who have no hunger and just would refuse spiritual food. They don't want spiritual food. Sermons? Why would you want to go to church and listen to some man preaching for 30 minutes at least? Many people feel that nowadays, you know. Here's one example. This is a man writing on a website, church website. I've got an idea. Read my lips. No more sermons. Just stop preaching. We lay people are now literate. We can read books on our own and take classes. We don't need the clergy teaching and preaching at us. The very idea of a sermon is offensive. A lecture where we can't argue back or even ask questions. And so is the very idea of clergy as authorities or intellectual leaders. When in many congregations, most lay people are educated far better. So shut up already. No more sermons. Give us liturgy, sacraments, and mystery, and stop the talk. You have nothing to say to us. End of quote. There's a professed Christian. I say professed Christian. Refusing spiritual food. Not interested in that. Nobody can tell me anything. The fourth beatitude, a reproof to that type of person. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Such a reproof to such snotty pride. You hear the pride? It stinks of pride. We're as well educated. You've nothing to tell us. What pride? It's the opposite of meek. This person is not a Christian on the basis of the teaching of Jesus Christ. It's black and white. It's clear. There are those in the visible church today, in the Western world at least, who are like a baby in a high chair. Remember the baby when it was in the high chair? And you go to put the food in its mouth and it turns its face away and gets the food all around its mouth, refuses to open its mouth. Well, there's Christians, professed Christians, people in the church that are just the same with spiritual food. They don't want any. Keep that to yourself. And yet they think, I'm a Christian. They're dreaming. They don't even know what a Christian is. They haven't the attitude of a Christian. Poor in spirit. Mourning. Meek. Not at all. Dreaming. A true Christian hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Jesus said this. That's what they have, this desire. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. A true Christian is not a baby in a high chair turning its face away when the spoon comes. Thirdly, this beatitude is a reproof to those who delight to garnish the plate, but they care very little for the content on the plate. A nice wee musical piece. Oh, some singing. Let's have a solo and a quartet and a trio. And let's have some drama and puppets. And oh, there's the children's bit. It's even better than the sermon always, the kids' bit. And you preaching the sermon, no more than 10 minutes. That's a Baptist church in Northern Ireland, by the way. I've just read from there. Imagine sitting down to a meal and the table set so lovely. The knives and the forks are gleaming. Like my mum used to at Christmas get out the silver knives and forks and she would dip them in the silver cleaner and wipe them. It was the only time of the year they come out. And there's silver cutlery. It's so beautiful. And the serviettes are folded and the plate comes and it's going to get laid down in front of you on the table. And it's the plate is edged in gold leaf. It's gleaming. And when the plate sat in front of you, there in the middle of it is a wee teaspoon's worth of food. Oh, but it looks so nice. It's lovely, all the garnish all around. Maybe it does. But I'll tell you this. It's no use at all to someone who's hungry. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, not garnish. And someone who's hungry and thirsty after righteousness, if someone serves up a wee teaspoon and doesn't give a proper message and it's not even about the Bible, they'll not be too happy because it won't satisfy them. A true Christian. You can decorate the church all you want, but if the church lacks spiritual food, what use is it? All frills all can be all around any church, but without the actual content, it's pathetic. Pathetic. There are those who like to garnish the plate, but they're not hungry nor thirsty for righteousness. This beatitude, fourthly, is a reproof to those who prefer recreation and profit before spiritual things. If money is to be made, that comes first. Or even worse, they squeeze out spiritual food for entertainment and fun. Imagine a hungry man coming home and he sits down at the table and the plate's empty and the larder's bare. And the wife says to him, "Don't worry, dear, we're going to play Monopoly instead. And then we'll watch a DVD and we can tell jokes to one another. We can have great entertainment." The man's not going to be satisfied, is he? Listen to this. This is worth reading. This is a man who went round a whole variety of churches to see what they were like, including the Church of England and all sorts of types of churches. He goes in here to an evangelical Baptist church, and this is what he writes about it. "From the moment we got to the parking lot, there were signs welcoming us along with the parking lot attendants waving. These guys were so enthusiastic you would think they'd been trained in Disney World. The signs pointing to valet parking for first-time guests. I would have taken them up on the offer, but pride always rules. We were greeted by another enthusiastic character, a very nice young man, who led us around, and when we told him we were first-time visitors, he said, 'Oh, VIPs.' We were then introduced everywhere we went under the title of VIPs, very important persons. When others would hear we were VIPs, they would have a look of excitement mixed with anxiousness. The anxiousness seemed to come from an underlying understanding that their church was focused on bringing in newcomers. Then they led us to the children's area. Here most of the kids were playing video games on a long wall which had a game consoles built in. The room itself was huge. Although this is not as cool as some churches we went to a few months before where we had a climbing jungle gym two stories high. At the children's area here, there was an elf to meet the children at the door. Also in the room was a store that had Barbie action figures, Bratz dolls, and all the other popular items you'd find in the toy catalogue after Thanksgiving. In order for the kids to get the merchandise, they had to say a memory verse and earn store credits. The first thing my kids said to me when I went to pick them up was, 'Daddy, can we go to this church?' Can you blame them? For the kids, this church was a dream. As we walked in, I had to dodge the camera and squint to see the stage. It was dark and there was production smoke everywhere. We sat down with an incredible, listening to an incredible performance by the worship team who sang many songs that I was familiar with. In reality, the worship was very well done. It could have been an opening act for a U2 concert. After the worship came the announcements. That's where things got really interesting. Instead of the normal Baptist list of things given from a random person in the pulpit, the lights went dark and there was silence on the screens. Up above were pre-recorded announcement videos. These were not, hey, I got a new digital camera and I'm now a professional editor. No, these would have been aired at Super Bowl. They were that good and funny. They went through four separate announcements. The first was welcome to special guests, another for the men's ministry, followed by one for women's ministry, and one for a marriage seminar coming up. All the videos had a different theme and were top rate in production. They were funny enough to be on live TV. Then came the sermon. The message itself was good and helpful, but better suited for a Zig Ziglar seminar on self-motivation. The preacher used Mark 7:33 to teach that Christ wants to deal with us each individually and wants our words to be for edification because what we think that we are. Well, at least these principles were generally true, even if they had nothing whatsoever to do with the verse that he read. Once the service was over, I went and dragged my kids from the amusement park literally and began to reflect. And then he says many other things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm not going to read it all. But he says at the end, I could go on about this experience, but it has confirmed to me the desperate shape of the modern church, the evangelical church, the dreadful shape it's in, and the need for renewal. Where will people go when the entertainment and laughter and fun serve no purpose? May God grant us a mindset and give people their true needs, not their felt needs. Thought that was worth reading. There's an example in America, of course, but of a church that's being led by and filled with people who hunger and thirst after entertainment and fun instead of hunger and thirst after righteousness. They prefer fun over spiritual food. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they'll be filled. The fifth type of person this beatitude reproves is this: the person that prefers to dispute about religion than faithfully obey the scripture themselves. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? There are some people in churches today, and they're always talking about the faults of the Roman Catholic Church, and there are faults. Of course there are, glaring faults. The Church of England, the cults, charismatic nut jobs, sodomites, all issues. And these things have to be talked about. I'm not against that. There has to be apologetics against error. But what I'm saying is there are some people, and they talk about all those things, but they never talk about God or Christ or the gospel. You never hear them saying, I was reading Thomas Watson. I was really blessed. But it's always disputes. Disputes must happen. Error must be rebuked. It must be confronted, especially from the pulpit. But that's not all we care about. We hunger and thirst after righteousness. And sixthly, this fourth beatitude is a reproof to the lazy and sluggish, who are too lazy to do the spiritual things. They never read. They're not interested in listening to sermons on CD or the internet or anything. They never get around to coming to church to be spiritually fed. They profess to be Christians, but hunger and thirst after righteousness? It doesn't happen in action. Well, they talk about it, but it doesn't happen in action. Those which do hunger and thirst, do is an action word. Some of the old day Christians, you know, they had to walk to church for miles, rain, hail, and snow. And they did it. Why? Because they hungered and thirsted after righteousness. They had a spiritual hunger. This beatitude reproves those who actually don't do anything that proves they have a hunger and thirst after righteousness. Come back, Bethany. That's the first point. The Beatitude is a reproof to six different kinds of person. Those who desire sleep more than spiritual things. Those that have no hunger. Those that garnish the plate but neglect the content. Those that prefer entertainment. Those who prefer disputes. And those who are too lazy to do anything. Now, secondly, five signs of spiritual hunger. This is for the believer's encouragement. Number one, remember this. Hunger is a painful thing. If you miss a meal, or you miss two or three meals, like Esau did in Genesis, or Jacob did, or Israel did in Psalm 107, you become weak. There's a pain, perhaps even faint. When you're sick, and you can't get to church, and you don't get fellowship with your brothers and sisters, and you don't hear teaching from the Bible, do you miss it? Do you feel left out? See, if you do, that's because you've got a hunger and thirst after righteousness. You feel you've missed out. You've missed a meal. And when I was in Wade Abbey, many of the folk, when they were sick, they would go on sermon audio and they would listen to the sermon. What does that prove? That they knew they'd missed out. They had a hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a proof, isn't it? That's a sign that a person is hungry and thirsty after righteousness. The second one, a sign of spiritual hunger, is this. A true Christian will not be satisfied with anything but spiritual food. If a person is spiritual, hungry and thirsty after righteousness, as Jesus says, and they go to a church and they see a drama presentation and flowers and music, they're not much interested in that. That doesn't satisfy them. They won't thank you for those things. In the same way as if you come home and you're hungry and sat down before you is a plate of tinsel. Well, a hungry man or woman, not interested in tinsel and what it looks like. I want food. You need food. So the person that's hungry and thirsty after righteousness It's not interested in the frills. They want spiritual food. And if they don't get it, they'll know they haven't got it. The spiritually hungry man or woman is not satisfied with the man-made trappings that are paraded around churches today. He wants the meat and milk of the word. I know you obviously want the meat and milk of the word. You wouldn't be here, and folks in White Abbey were the same in their day. I know that some of you listen to sermons on the internet, or that's a written CD down there. It's not CD anymore, it's the MP3 or whatever it is. But that's a great sign. If you want to listen and want more teaching, that's a sign you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness. The person who is not spiritually hungry wouldn't be doing those things. It's an encouraging sign when people even seek out spiritual food for themselves. It's a sign of a Christian. And the third sign of a spiritual hunger is this. A spiritual person will wrestle with difficulty, even searching for spiritual food. In the same way as a hungry husband, if he gets up and he's hungry, he'll search the cupboard. He'll search the fridge. Even if the food's hidden somewhere, he'll look for it and try and find to get it. So, a spiritually hungry Christian, a child of God, will overcome any difficulties in the search for real spiritual food. Are we small things not used as an excuse to keep away? Oh, not bother going from the sermon. No. The true believer will attempt to overcome the difficulties to get the spiritual food. I'll be brief. A fourth sign of hunger and thirst after righteousness is this. A person that's hungry and thirsty after righteousness doesn't need to be encouraged to eat. He does it naturally. He doesn't need instructions. Imagine, if you will, a husband who's been out working. And when we were in White Abbey, Mark was there, a great man, and his wife Tracy. And Tracy was a great cook. And Mark he worked outside up the big pylons for Northern Ireland Electricity. And sometimes, if there was storms, he'd be out for 24 hours at a time working in all the elements. Now imagine Mark coming home after a 24-hour emergency shift, and if Tracy sat down before him a great big portion of chicken biryani, that's what he liked in the Indian, chicken biryani with boiled rice and a naan bread, after 24 hours of being no meals, would Mark just sit there at the table and not eat? And he just look at it and wonder what to do? Would he need encouragement and persuaded to eat the food? Do you want a wee story to help you eat it? Nonsense. So the spiritually hungry Christian who's hungry and thirsty after righteousness doesn't need the wee bit of entertainment or the drama or the music to be coaxed to listen to the 10-minute sermon. No. The real Christian has come to church for this very purpose, to worship God, to hear the word preached and get the spiritual food. He doesn't need encouragement to do it. He does it because he desires it to be fed. And see, if the spiritually hungry person comes to church, the man or woman, and there's no sermon, they'll be disappointed. See how black and white it is. It's our own attitude of heart that shows whether or not, whether what people profess, their attitude and heart proves whether or not they're a real Christian. Do they hunger and thirst after righteousness? Because if the Holy Spirit's in here, we do. Lastly, the truly spiritual person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, they taste the sweetness of real food. They enjoy when they get real spiritual food. They can tell the difference. They really love it. They talk about it. They take it in. And they can tell the difference between cotton wool and stories and real meat, real spiritual food. So I summarize and conclude. It's just the application of the fourth beatitude. The fourth beatitude: blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They will be satisfied. Is a reproof to six different types of person. It's a reproof, firstly, to those that prefer sleep than spiritual things. It's a reproof, secondly, to those who have no hunger for spiritual things. Thirdly, it's a reproof for those that just like to garnish the plate but don't really care about the content of spiritual things. Fourthly, it's a reproof to those who would prefer entertainment. Fifthly, it's a reproof to those who prefer disputes and arguing. And sixthly, it's a reproof to those who are too lazy to do anything about it. So I ask the question, is that us? I don't think so. Well, I hope not. But there are many that does describe. Secondly, I've given you a second point, five signs of spiritual hunger and thirst. Hunger is painful. We miss the food. We want spiritual food. Two, we'll be satisfied with nothing but the food, no frills. Thirdly, we wrestle and overcome difficulties even seeking out spiritual food. Some people drive a lot further than the nearest church to their house. And it's not because they're picky, it's because they want real spiritual food. So they come to a place where they're fed. Fourthly, the spiritual and hungry person doesn't need encouraged and coaxed to eat. They just know they will eat straight away. And fifthly, they'll love and taste the sweetness of real spiritual food. Is that you and me? Praise God, I hope it is. That's a child of the kingdom. That's a child of the kingdom. The blessed are poor in spirit. They mourn over sin. They're meek. And they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, if anyone listening here, either here or on the internet, if this is not you, if you're not poor in spirit, if you don't mourn over sin, if you're not meek and you don't have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, if this is not you, you're not a Christian. But that doesn't mean you're damned. These things are a reproof. If these things are not you, you can still be saved. Flee to Jesus Christ. Cry out to him. Trust in him as your Savior and your sacrifice. Because he saves all who come to him. And then you will hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. Thanks for your attention this evening, brothers and sisters.